And good morning. We are here. Let's call it the Vince and Lewis.
Vince and Lewis show.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay. Bit Wizards here for Tip of the Wand show this morning. And we have these guys in who happen to know so much more about technology than the rest of us. So we're glad you're here. And Lewis, welcome. You are the chief of what?
Thanks. Yes, I'm chief operations officer.
That's what it was. Yeah. I have a very short-term memory loss here.
No problem.
And of course, Vince is in here. He's been here for a couple of times, and we got some great information out of both you and Sam when Sam was here as well. And lots of things that you guys talk about, we have no idea that we can get into this to help ourselves.
Yeah, that's
a lot of it.
Yeah.
You know, because you don't know what you don't know. And thankfully, you guys tell us what we don't know so that we can keep out of trouble, especially business owners. I have a small business myself. And so when you guys are talking about you won't lose your information and you'll be able to back up this and that and take care of things, it's good to know. It's like insurance policy for our information so we just don't die on the vine. And we like that.
Absolutely. By the way, Sam asked me to send his regrets, and he's going to miss us, but we've got him out in Lodi, California, onboarding Heartland Steel, who's one of our managed IT services customers.
Oh, so he's out there working.
He is actually working today, yes.
You guys get to come in here and play a little bit.
Absolutely.
Take a little break.
Yeah. All right, let's get right to it.
Bit Wizards, Bits and Bytes.
What's going on this morning with that?
Yeah, well, get my news like good old Rush.
Yeah, you know, he always has the paperwork.
Yeah.
I don't know what he does with it, but he's fumbling around with it somewhere.
Anyways, so what we thought we'd tell you about today in Bits and Bytes is that Google's planning to give slow websites a new badge of shame in Chrome. So if your website operates too slowly, they're going to monitor that, and then when people browse to your website, it's going to come up with a badge of shame of some kind that annotates your website as running slowly, hopefully getting you to spend some time and effort on your website and getting it loading faster and updating your content so that users have a great experience.
Ah, so they think that reflects upon Google if your website goes slow, then?
Well, a lot of small business owners think that a website is just, you know, you put it out there and it's very static and you forget it. And so a lot of people don't update and they don't keep it, you know, up to standards that are going on because the web is constantly changing and how we serve things up. They don't keep it fast, which means that it's harder for Google to crawl it and index it, and which allows you to be found on the web. Mm-hmm. And so they're trying to incentivize business owners to make that investment and get these things done so they don't end up on the wall of shame, per se.
And it
It has some ROI for the business owners as well. I mean, they've done studies that show that if the user experience is poor, if it leads to frustrations or delay in this limited attention economy, you're actually losing sales.
I've
done it myself. If it takes too many steps, I wanted something, I'm doing it, and I just abandon it because I have other things to do.
I've done that myself. You go to a website, it's like I take forever just to try to find something, and it doesn't find it. I mean, you have to like manually search through the website to try and find something, and it's so hard to go from page to page. I understand that perfectly. We've talked about this before, that people need to kind of keep up with the times, not only just your PCs and your computers, but websites as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's why, you know, at BitWizards, you know, we pride ourselves, we're multidisciplined. So we have four divisions. We have application development, digital marketing, and which is partly user experience, and then infrastructure, and then our managed IT services, which is focused on our small and medium business. And so since we're sort of cross-disciplined there, we're able to provide that business owner that well-rounded set of experience to help them not only manage their servers, their desktops, and their Macs, but also keep abreast of technology and what's going on.
Well, that makes a lot of sense because that's how people get their business anyway. And like you were talking about, if they're going to bypass your website, well, you just lost a whole bunch of business. Because most likely it's not just me and you that are like that. There's a lot of people like that.
Yeah.
So if they can keep that up to date, and that's what you do. You help them keep their websites up to date.
It's one of the things that we do.
It's facilities management. I mean, now, you know, I know in the previous show they said that technology is just table stakes. It's not a differentiator. But you know, having a slow website is like having a broken window in your business. And as a business owner, when you walk up, that's easy. You can see that broken window and fix it. But perhaps some of that deeper knowledge about the user experience, what your customers are experiencing, isn't as obvious to the business owner if they're not technology savvy. So we try to help with that, tell them about the trends, do a little, you know, checking and give them suggestions.
How often maybe should they get their websites checked to make sure that things are running properly? Is that something that's a periodic thing, or is there like a stage they do that in, like staging with the aircraft? Is it so many months between, or what would you suggest?
Not at all. I mean, it's really an ongoing daily experience. If you think about it in today's market, you know, people, the way that they access everything is their smartphone, right? And they want instant access. So typically their first experience with you and your company is going to be your website. If it looks old and dilapidated and doesn't look like you've updated it in, you know, 10 years, that's problematic. And even worse, the search engines and the ways that people find you are actually, you know, you're penalized for not keeping up to date. So really, it's an ongoing daily activity. It's not a just build it like a brochure, and if you build it, they will come. The way that the web is powered is by content. So how often you update it? Do you put things out there that are relevant to your customers to get them to pay attention to you? It's not just about you. It's about them. What kind of questions do they have for your about your business or about your service, or how can you help them? And as Lewis talked about in the attention economy, you've got fleeting seconds to get people's attention. So you want to be remarkable. You want to provide information that's relevant to them. And, you know, you want to provide things that answer their questions.
That makes a lot of sense. They're going to stay with your website if that's the case.
And the stats also go along with the algorithms for the search engine results, which are very important to people. Google is on experience. And so one of the key factors in the past couple of years has been fresh content. Are you updating it? It's noticing that in the spider. Now it's going to be speed. This is going to be part of it. And they may find other creative ways in the future to gauge other bits of user experience and put that into their equation.
Now, some of the websites, do you think some websites are a little bit too big and too convoluted? Because, I mean, you got to keep your computers up to date just to be able to load those websites to make them run. So the average PC or the average computer out there, are you trying to kind of conform the website so that it'll be faster, even if the computers aren't that powerful?
Well, yeah, absolutely. So when we talk about building a website for a business, you know, the first thing is what we call the information architecture. When you think about the information architecture, it's really like a table of contents or a site map that tells the users where they can find information. And I always laugh because there's two types of companies out there. Some of them think it's all about the pretty picture, right? But if I can't find the information, it's, you know, it's useless to me. The website becomes a boat anchor. And so what we really need to do is we need to organize that information in a way that your customer who wants to come and find out information about you or information that's relevant to them, you want to make it so it's easy for them to find the information. So by doing that, it makes it easier for them to find that information, and then you keep that content relevant and updated, and you call out content that maybe is no longer relevant. And it's not really the size, it's about how the information is organized.
Gosh, I'll tell you. You know, I work on a rock station as well, and sometimes when I go to a rock website for, you know, a rock band, and you look in there, how in the world do you find anything on some of those websites? It is absolutely, they're horrible. They are absolutely horrible when you're just trying to find out some information. When I look at those, I wonder, who in the world built this? I mean, really and truly, who built this? Because it isn't for your average user. It just isn't.
And you're right, and that's because, you know, they get focused on the pretty picture. And the pretty picture is important, but what's really important is the data and the information that's in there that is relevant to people.
Gotcha.
There's a science to the art of it, I guess, to break down what is the call to action and really do that. Because like I said, if the pretty picture is, oh, that looks really nice, but did you ask, okay, what user's coming to my site and what are they trying to do?
Exactly.
And there's often multiple types of users coming to your site for different reasons. How do you cater them? How do you get them to where they need to go quickly?
I fully agree with that. Let's change gears for just a minute, guys.
Bit Wizards, what's up our sleeve?
Well, what's up our sleeve? This is our primary topic for today, and I'm going to throw out a little factoid that 86% of small businesses say keeping up with technology is important to them, but 60% of those surveyed do not use cloud technologies, that evil cloud. Everybody's worried about it. They think they're going to get hacked. But surveys say, you know, a survey commissioned by Microsoft says that of these smaller businesses, increase in revenue for them is about 30% when they are familiar with the cloud. So what we wanted to talk about today is kind of explain what is the cloud and how it works, and let's sort of demystify it so small business owners can understand it and not be afraid of it.
You know something, Vince, you bring up a very good point, because personally, I think of the cloud as something that could be hacked. And so if I store all my information on there, or if I, like if I back up my computer to a cloud, if you will, all my information off there, off my computer, just in case I get hacked, so I'll always have that information available to reload into that computer or another computer. Just the idea, the scare tactic, is if that cloud gets hacked, what happens to my information?
Well, people, yeah, so it goes back down to the thing, people want to own stuff, and they want to hold on to whatever it is that they buy, and they think if they can hold on to it, they can control it. And there's really, you know, if you think about it, there are three major cloud providers out there. You've got Microsoft Azure, you've got Google, and you've got Amazon Web Services. Those are the two major clouds. And I've been to the one of the Azure data centers, and I will have to tell you that it rivals, the security there rivals Cheyenne Mountain. You know, it's biometric access. Only, you know, people that are in the know that need to be in certain areas are allowed to be there. You have to get a background check before you're allowed to go in there. It's serious business. And the cloud is sort of an amorphous term, but in terms of Microsoft's cloud, it is a global infrastructure. There are data centers all over the world that are interconnected. In fact, a lot of people don't know this. Microsoft actually runs fiber underneath the ocean to connect between the United States and Asia and in Europe. And then also, right now, they're in a consortium with several other, Google and Oracle, to run fiber down the west coast of the United States down to service South America. So it is pretty phenomenal. Wow. And if you think your server in your closet at your business, or where you've got the password stuck on a sticky note out there, is more secure than this infrastructure that is kept up to date and monitored in real time for threats, you know, you're sadly mistaken. And so, but what's important is that you implement the cloud or utilize the cloud properly. And it is the cornerstone of our business that we do at BitWizards, because we utilize it for, you know, your server infrastructure. And that may be in what we call hybrid configuration, where you have some stuff that's local and then some stuff that's in the cloud. And so we want to make sure those connections are secure. And then we use what are called cloud-managed routers and firewalls so that we can manage them from the cloud and monitor them in real time and connect them into that bigger infrastructure.
Wow. Which allows us to scale, and that's how we can keep our costs. That's how we could bring enterprise-class tools to the small business, is through using these cloud-based tools, because they provide efficiencies. A good analogy I've used to help make visual for people is to compare driving your car to flying. And we all know statistically it is much safer to fly. You're much more likely to be hurt in your car than in an aircraft.
Yep.
But every time an aircraft goes down, it's big news. And that's what happens. When we hear about Target getting hit, or we hear about somebody in the cloud getting hit, it's big news. When you hear about the individual business or small, which happens here locally much more often than I think people realize, it doesn't make big news. And so they hear about the big news and they worry about it. But the maintenance on aircraft is better. The professionals who fly and you know, the entire operation of aircraft, sure, is better than jumping in your car and heading down the road. And that's just a good analogy. The on-prem services is the car. The cloud is really the aircraft.
I gotcha. So some things are better left locally, and some things are better left to the cloud. That's what I'm taking away from this.
Absolutely.
That is true, yes.
And one of the things that business owners need to understand about the cloud is it's operated a little bit differently. It's much like a utility, like the electric company. So it's on a metered service where you pay for what you use, which is why it's really critical in terms of how you set it up. So if I turn the server on and I keep the server on for 8 hours a day, well, I can turn it off for the other 16 hours when maybe you're not using it, and then the next morning when business starts up, you can have it back on. If you need it always on, then you pay for it always on. But that's what they call the difference between what we call capital expenditure, where you buy a server and then you put it in your office, you depreciate it over 5 years, versus an operational expense for the cloud, where it's much like your water or your electricity, and it's metered, and then you pay it monthly. And that bill will vary from month to month depending upon what you use.
No kidding. I assumed it was like a one price, and you like buy so many gigabytes or whatever it could be, and that is yours, and that's what you pay every month to use, but that's not the case.
Not the case, because think about, let's start with CPU, which is one of the things that's metered on the cloud. You know, how much CPU you use varies from minute to minute.
Right.
And so they charge you based upon that usage. How much bandwidth you use in terms of the data that goes back and forth when people hit your website, or maybe your internal folks hit, you know, one of your servers to get data and bring it down, well, then that's bandwidth that's utilized. Storage is another thing. How much storage are you going to use? And we all know, if you think about your phone, you buy the biggest phone that you can possibly buy to store, you know, pictures on. But what the cloud does is says, I can start and only pay for a little bit. And then as my data needs grow, then I can pay for it as I grow and as I get more. And as opposed to on premise or at home or in your office, where I buy the biggest hard drive I can possibly buy, I plug it in there, I don't use it all, and then I've got to worry about plugging in additional drives as I go along. They take all that, the cloud takes all that complexity away, and you don't have to worry about it.
Oh, that's interesting. So when you grow, it grows. When you go down, it goes down. You only pay for what you use.
Exactly. And that makes scaling much nicer. I mean, for anybody who remembers Friendster, the pre-Facebook basically got crushed because they couldn't scale fast enough creating the machines and whatnot. Oh. And, you know, in this, with the cloud, you're able to then scale up easily without having to go out and buy the capital equipment, find a facility to put it in. You know, what if your data center is too small because your business is growing gangbusters kind of thing?
Yeah.
Or if you're having a downturn and you have this commitment now that to maintain and this expense when maybe you're having a downturn. So it's really nice because it scales up and down as needed.
That makes sense, because like you're talking about, you buy a big terabyte or whatever it is for a hard drive, but you only use this much of it. So you're paying for this, but you're only using a little bit of it. And that makes more sense. You know, you pay for what you use.
Right.
Absolutely. And that ties back into two of the other areas that we work in the cloud. And one of them is backups, which, again, that's paying for what you use. But the other one is licensing, which we use Office 365, E3 with advanced threat protection. And the advantage there is let's say that the company is growing very quickly. Well, you can simply pay. That stuff is paid for by subscription. And so as I add more employees, I add my new employee on, and then I pay for that as I go. And let's just say that, God forbid, you have a downturn, or, you know, like a downturn in the economy, and you need to downsize. You had 20 licenses. You can stop that month and drop down to 10 licenses or 5 licenses, whatever it is you need to do. So that elasticity is what's important, and that's what the brings to the cloud, and the agility. And a lot of people don't understand that elasticity and that agility, and that's why a partner like BitWizards will come in and we make that an integral part of our service. You know, we use Microsoft's cloud, and as I mentioned before, it is a global network, and there are it's for testing and it's for managing production servers and applications, and it's done at Microsoft data centers. And you can choose where that data resides. So if you have a business that has compliance issues, you don't want your data outside the United States, we can configure it so your data only stays inside the United States.
Oh.
And we can also balance it and say, well, you need to be able to operate in different time zones. Like maybe you need, like Heartland Steel, who's one of our new customers, needs to operate in Lodi, California, but they also need to operate over here on the East Coast in Michigan. Well, what we can do is we can put some of your stuff in data centers over in Lodi where it's closer to the folks there, and mm-hmm. then we can put you also over on the East Coast side in one of the East Coast data centers where you're closer. So it's fewer hops across the internet to get to where you need to go.
Well, that makes sense.
And if business owners are comparing it, I would urge them to make sure you're comparing apples to apples. You know, often they see the per moment cost, or what does it cost per month, versus what it's costing them. They need to calculate all of those costs, including their capital costs for the machine, maintaining those items, the electricity, the space, all that's involved in that, because that becomes no longer the problem. It's like I said, Microsoft is handling it with this high-grade enterprise equipment. You're just paying for what you use. They've got the people to maintain the equipment. They're taking up their space.
Everybody has their part.
Yeah.
That makes good sense.
Often they take the math of buying a server and dividing it, and that's just not the actual cost.
I got you. Yeah, it makes more sense that you can actually kind of rent, if you will, and kind of go along with that rather than have to purchase like we were talking about before. Hey, why not use the cloud? It sounds to me like.
Absolutely.
We got one more to take care of.
BitWizards. From the spell book.
Oh, that sounds scary to me.
All right, today's term, we've actually already heard it. We had a little discussion. It's Office 365. It's a subscription-based service that you always have the most up-to-date modern productivity tools from Microsoft. Office 2019 is sold as a one-time purchase, which means you pay a single upfront cost, where the Office 365 is again, that rental model we were just talking about.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that earlier. What exactly is Office 365?
So Office 365 is twofold. So it's your productivity suite like you traditionally have with Office, like you would buy in a boxed solution, right? But instead of providing it in a box solution, you have a couple of different ways to use it. You basically lease it and use it. So you're constantly up to date, and it constantly syncs back with core Microsoft service to keep you up to date with the latest stuff. So you don't have to uninstall Office and then put the new version on. You don't have to go from like 2010 to 2012. It's constantly up to date. And then Microsoft has also built that same productivity suite through web browsers. So you can now use them from anywhere, and then you can link your data that you may have on-premise with data as it may reside in the cloud and have access to your information and that productivity suite from anywhere. So it includes the full desktop version of Office, and then each user gets the opportunity to install that on up to 5 devices. Because as you know, we have our desktop, right? But everybody's got a smartphone, and then somebody may have their home computer, or like in the case of Lewis and I, we have multiple computers at the office.
I'll bet.
But the advantage is that you pay for one license, but you can utilize them in those different places. Now, you can't use it to say, hey, I'm going to get a license for Vince, but then I'm going to let it use it for Dan. Everybody has to have their own subscription license.
Right.
But the advantage to the business owner is you get the on-prem and you get the cloud versions and you get the ability to interconnect the data using things like OneDrive and SharePoint so that you can share data back and forth instead of using file shares locally.
It's one of the big projects we usually have is to help people move from file shares into SharePoint where they have better control and better access to their data.
What is SharePoint exactly?
So SharePoint is a collaboration tool, and it has a lot of extended functionality. We basically use it as a file share, but you can do workflows in it, and processes have a kind of an intranet for your company with different information.
So it's like your own little cloud, sort of?
Yeah, well, think of it like a portal. Think of it like a website that you use inside your business that may or may not be externally exposed to folks.
Okay.
So, for example, instead of you know how you have a file share where you have a hard drive and everybody points that hard drive and they go out and they put the data on it.
Right.
Well, SharePoint has basically a portal where you put all that information, all those files in the portal, and you can organize that information in silos, like we talked about, that information architecture and the way that you want it done. And then it's fully indexable, fully searchable. It does check in and check out if you would like it to. It keeps versioning. So like if I work on the document and I make changes and then Dan makes changes to the document, we can go back and compare. We can collaborate in real time with that document.
Okay.
And so there are a lot of things that SharePoint provides by using that, by providing that portal. There's also security there. And I can actually create basically sites within the portal that I might share with my vendors or maybe some of my customers. Now, it's not meant to be your website. It's meant to share files and information and data so that you can collaborate on them.
That makes sense. I mean, when you got a job that you're doing, let's say you're working on a project or something, then you can all have input to the same file.
Yeah. Absolutely. Instead of emailing it back and forth,
which takes forever.
And you can take it up. There's beyond files. There's other things. Even at BitWizards, we have an unlimited leave policy. We don't track leave. We track work. And so we have just a BI, business intelligence chart there that shows where everybody is on their amount of work for the year and if you're slipping behind or something like that. And so information and KPIs like that can also be displayed to the entire company. And, of course, you have access anywhere. You have access to the web.
That's fascinating. I like that. Because having that access, like we're talking about, for everybody to have access to one file, especially like I was talking about on a project, because we've worked on several projects. When I was in the military, we were working on a lot of different projects, and that would have been very helpful to do. Rather than, you know, communicate through email or voice or whatever, you can update the project as you get the information that everybody's probably got a part on, and you can update that and you can watch it grow, I'm sure, to get to fruition.
Absolutely, and I can access it from anywhere. So I can use my smartphone. I can actually access our SharePoint, pull up a file that Lewis wants me to review. It opens up in the online version of Word through Office 365. Mm-hmm. I edit that document, update it. It places it back into SharePoint. And then everybody gets notified of my changes, and now they can go in and continue the workflow and go forward. So I can be on the beach, chilling out, having a Corona, and then I can turn around and I can edit a file real quickly and get back so that, you know, the workflow continues.
I like that idea. And who does it, really? That sounds pretty cool. That's technology at its best, honestly, because like you said, you know, maybe I've did my part and I'm waiting for his part to come in. So I can be doing something else. And then when I see his parts come in, then I can take my part and go on again. So you're not waiting around wasting time.
Right? Absolutely. And that's the key point to our service at BitWizards around our managed IT is that we only use commercial grade industrial products in our toolkit. So that's Windows Azure or Microsoft Azure, and then Microsoft Office 365 with the advanced threat protection.
That sounds really good. Well, guys, we only have a couple of minutes left. Let's do a couple plugs for BitWizards, for goodness sakes.
Well, we wanted to send a big thank you and a shout out to one of our newest clients, St. George Medical Center. Dr. Erica Centillis and her team over at 1118 Hospital Drive, Walt Beach, Florida. She's my doctor and my mom's doctor.
Oh, well, there you go.
I've been seeing her for quite some time. I'm a huge fan. In fact, I had promoted her in the office because of her use of technology. And I really appreciate it, the job that they do, because they remember after all the patients they see, they have my information at their fingertips. I come in for whatever problem, but they can discuss, you know, where my medications are and what's going on with previous. I love that. I understand a doctor can't remember everybody all the time, but she uses the technology to put that information at her fingertips. And I really feel I get great care for myself and my mom. And we're very honored to have them as a client. We just onboarded them last month.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, so any business, we're talking business, any business would be able to benefit from your services.
Absolutely, and I think that's the key point here is that businesses that adopt and utilize technology are streamlined, they're better, they're more profitable, they get more customers. And this is what we love about Dr. Centillis is that she utilizes technology the right way. Everything from, you know, scheduling an appointment to shooting reminders to making changes to appointments to our medical records, and including the process when you show up there and
check in
or fill out your medical history and those types of things. It's done on iPads, and it's all connected in the cloud, and it's secure, and they do a really fantastic job.
Prescriptions sent out. You don't have to handle all the paper. And
that must be nice. Yeah. You know, it's great that you guys can break this down and simplify this for everybody that might be listening right now. I'm sure we have some business owners that are listening. If you are and you want something good, I would recommend BitWizards.